Welcome to another episode of Real Talk with Teddy and Lisa. My name is Teddy Parsons.
And my name is Lisa Allen Coast, and we're so excited you are joining us today. On today's podcast, we welcome our very special guest, Tammy Hanna, the president and CEO at Origami Rehabilitation, located in Okemos, Michigan.
Thanks, Lisa. Before we bring Tammy into the conversation, I hope you'll indulge me and allow me to take a moment to send out our thoughts and prayers for everyone from the East Coast to the West Coast who are experiencing the manic weather that has claimed so many innocent lives and destroyed so much. So I want to follow up with my beautiful co-host here, that would be you, Lisa, not me, about the discussion on the last episode of Real Talks with Teddy and Lisa. We talked about lying, and I am curious, my friend, how many times have you lied in the past week? Were they big or little lies, or were they so hot your pants were on fire?
Well, you know, the average person, as we discussed, Teddy, lies a couple of times a day. And, you know, I always say to people, I'm not average. So I'm going to guess maybe, you know, I doubled that. I'm not sure, three or four, but certainly my pants almost caught on fire a couple of times.
Of course they do. I love that. Okay.
Well, you know, in fact, Teddy, I was thinking about this. I was going to, you know, carry around a fire extinguisher, you know, for every time that I did lie, but I was conscious of it. So I appreciate it. What's on your mind, Teddy, before we get into our serious discussion and act professional and really do our jobs?
Well, you know, I always have something to say. And, you know, like you, I like to use my PhD. And for people who didn't listen to our last podcast, shame on you. And PhD is our version of PhD, which means it's our doctorate of talk. So I got to tell you, the other day I was on South Cedar and there was a car ahead of me. And the woman driving, I'm going to set the picture, you know, had a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. And then she picked up a bag. Apparently it might have been in her car, but she threw a whole bag of her Burger King stuff while driving out of the window. So my first thought was to pick it up, drive by, and throw it back in her car, but I'm too lazy to do that. What is your thought on people who do that, who litter? What is your thought on that?
Well, you know, it just infuriates me. And, you know, is it wrong to roll down your window, Teddy, and say, "The world is not your ashtray. No ifs, ands, or buts." Get it? I just don't understand it, honestly. And I'm so anti-pollution because I grew up in the 70s. So remember, everything was, you know, pick it up. I think my sister and I actually picked up cans across the U.S. when we were traveling, you know, just because we were so into, you know, trying to clean up America. But now we don't have that anymore. We only have casino ads instead. So, you know, I don't know if people just aren't getting the message, but yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I don't understand why somebody would think that's appropriate, but you know, who am I to clean it? You could just clean up the world one day at a time, I guess. Yeah. I need one of those signs, you know, that says that I just put up in my window, I guess. But then, you know, you could get a road rage person and they could do something horrible. So you don't want to do that either, right?
Yeah, I'm laughing because as we're talking about this, my Grandma Parsons, if I was in the car with her, RIP, Grandma Parsons, but she would have called the person a trash ass. And that was so, okay. Thank you, my friend. I'm going to put on my professional podcast co-host face now and excited to welcome our amazing guest and my friend, Tammy Hanna. Good morning, Tammy. How are you?
Good morning, Teddy and Lisa. I'm great. I hope you both are doing well too.
Thank you. Again, welcome and thank you for joining us today on the podcast. So who is Tammy and what should our listeners need to know about you?
Sure. I'm a lifelong learner and disability advocate who is incredibly passionate about creating opportunities for individuals with any type of barrier to self-sufficiency. You know, I'm guided by my why every day, which really originates from one of my older brothers, Jeff, being born with cerebral palsy. You know, as his younger sister, I grew up attending various therapy sessions with him. You know, I witnessed his challenges. I understand the impact of disability on the family, and I experienced at a really young age how good it feels to help someone in need, especially a loved one. So I'm blessed to have found an organization with a great mission that really truly aligns with my why so perfectly. You know, it was over 21 years ago when I was assigned to Origami for the completion of my occupational therapy internship. It was my final one before graduation, and 2 weeks into my internship experience, I was invited to be employed as Origami's first full-time therapist. So at that time, Origami was only 3 years old, and I was super young and very inexperienced. And so I had to grow up really fast, and I had to navigate a lot of first-time experiences on my own. I quickly became savvy. I had to recognize the power of knowing and using my resources and establishing networks to help me get along. And when I reflect on those years, it was really the time where I learned that I needed to become very comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that that's really the experience built my foundation to who I am today and what I'm able to accomplish and what I continue to push myself to achieve. And, you know, today I'm a member of the leadership team at Origami, and I'm honored to serve as its president and CEO. I fell in love with the mission and the difference we make in people's lives. And the rest, as they say, is history. I found my why at an early age, and I never really looked back from that. Real quick, you know, I'd be remiss to not share a significant part of who I am and part of me and my life, but that includes my husband, Eric, who's my rock and lifelong partner. And together we have two beautiful daughters, Avery and Callie, who are 12 and 9. So when I'm not working, I love being a mom and cheering my kids on and at basketball and soccer and all of their other activities. So that's me in a nutshell.
Sorry, Lisa, real quick, Tammy, you forgot someone, the dog.
Oh, Winston, of course. My Newfie Poo, our COVID puppy.
Yes. Sorry, Lisa. I was thinking about the dog.
No, wow. Tammy, when you said what you everything that you're doing, I thought, you know, you live a mom's life, which is you're working when you're not working, you're still working, right?
Yes, it is. Oh, my gosh, right. Yes.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing that information, and Origami, we will have more information about you and Origami under the episode narrative for today's podcast. Tammy, let me tell you, one of the questions that comes up in my mind is, what kind of services do you find are the most in need or requested at Origami?
You know, it varies. So we are fortunate enough to really serve individuals, children, adolescents, adults with neurological, developmental, mental health, and orthopedic conditions. So people come to Origami for a wide array of services. We have your traditional physical, occupational, speech, recreational activities, therapies, and psychiatry, psychology. But then we also have a lot of specialized services like returning to driving, helping people be able to drive. Also, our most recent is our COVID, post-COVID rehab and recovery specialty area, and concussion care. So Lisa, it's really a wide array of services that we provide. I mean, we take a lot of pride in how comprehensive our services are in being able to serve the community in that way. We can serve individuals in a residential program kind of setting, as well as outpatient programming. Our outpatient program is located in both Mason, which is about 5 minutes south from Michigan State University's campus, and also our newest location, which is on the west side of Lansing, that just opened at the start of June of this year, which we're really excited about.
Thanks so much for sharing that information, Tammy. I know that your industry is facing a horrendous crisis right now with the Michigan ANF insurance legislation that went into effect in July 2021. So how have these recent changes to the law impacted the people you serve and those who need those benefits most?
I appreciate that question immensely, and this is obviously a hot topic. This is the area of my focus. This is what keeps me up at night. You know, just like a brief background, Michigan adopted an auto no-fault law back in 1970s, and it's with the basic premise that regardless of who's at fault for causing a car accident, payment of a certain level of benefit to all the accident victims would be guaranteed. No fault was assigned to really help fix damaged vehicles as well as to cover medical care. So that's the background. And that was reformed in June of 2019. And what you're speaking to, the most significant change that happened in the law really includes a 45% cut in reimbursement of services like Origami's residential program. That went into effect on July 2nd. This summer. And I'll just repeat that 45% cut in reimbursement of our services that we provide in our residential program. It has, the impact on the survivors of motor vehicle accidents, their families and support systems, Michigan's healthcare providers like Origami, it is profound. Lawmakers are continuing to hear countless stories surrounding the devastating impact of this new law. And, you know, to this point, it's been a wait and see approach being taken to see what will really happen. And what's really happening is survivors of catastrophic injuries are being displaced from their homes, from the facilities that have been their homes. The family and support systems are exhausted because they've had to step up and step in even more to provide the care that their loved ones need. Post-acute providers are going out of business. It's a scary time for Michigan healthcare providers and survivors and their families. You know, I don't know any business that can really accept a 45% cut to their funding and remain viable to be able to deliver the level of care and support survivors of these catastrophic accidents really need and deserve. So we're fighting the good fight. We're advocating and working super hard for a fix to this portion of the new law. We need a realistic and sustainable reimbursement solution because those Michigan survivors from car accidents deserve the care that they've been able to receive since 1973. And at this point, our industry is faced with a lot of challenges, and we need lawmakers to hear the stories and the impact to human lives.
Well, one of the questions I've got, Tammy, is I know that there's been this change, and I also know that you've helped a countless number of people even during this change in the industry. Just as a side note, my son also worked at Origami. So I know from an inside standpoint, you know, how beneficial it is to our community. How can listeners help Origami? You mentioned a couple of things, and how can we really make a difference?
Oh, thank you, Lisa. You know, so we're navigating an overwhelming number of challenges right now. I'm sure a lot of people can say that, right? I mean, we're in this pandemic that's persisting. We're in this together, and we're continuing to keep our clients, our employees as safe as possible. You know, of course, we've got this 45% cut to our reimbursement that went into effect just in July. And we're not immune to the significant nationwide direct care staffing shortages, which directly impacts our ability to carry out the care and support in our residential program. So there's a lot of ways the community can help Origami. There's always benefit to people spreading the great word about Origami, knowing that we're here in this community, making sure people who need our help receive it and call us to learn more. We also want to be sure people who are looking for employment that's rewarding, where they want to make a difference in people's lives and help people, to know that we are hiring a variety of different positions right now. And also, you know, we've never needed volunteers more than we need them now. As a 501c3 nonprofit, dedicated to our mission and really wanting to get through and needing to get through the current challenges. We need more hands on deck, and volunteers have long been a huge asset to the team. You know, we really enjoy finding ways to align our needs of the organization with the skill sets and interests, talents of our volunteers. So that may range from, you know, coming and playing a musical instrument for our residents and enjoying that, or, you know, walking on our campus trails with clients, assisting them with, you know, exercise programs, or being a listening ear. There's just really no limit to all the type of things that we can accommodate in having volunteers on our campus and interacting with our clients and with staff. And, you know, last but certainly not least, as a nonprofit organization navigating these challenges, we've never needed donations more than we need them now. We are filling a significant gap in ensuring people have access to care. Access to care is near and dear to our heart. That is what we're constantly advocating for. And the recent reform has really challenged that, and it's challenging us financially. And so any kind of support in that way is needed more than ever before. And so I really invite the community to learn more about us if you don't know a lot. And I love providing tours and speaking with people in person about what we and the lives that we impact, and sharing some of our stories and being able to really connect resources.
Thank you so much, Tammy. And I personally, you know, shameless plug here, I would encourage everyone to take Tammy up on the main campus tour there. It's incredible. So Tammy, I'm going to kind of do a two-way question here. You mentioned, I'm curious if, based on what you just said about the need, are people able to donate equipment, maybe physical therapy equipment, equipment they had, maybe someone finished physical therapy or maybe a loved one passed away? Do you guys take used equipment?
So that's a great question. I appreciate that. So we do, we have to be highly selective on that equipment that we're able to issue out. Typically, we will align those donations with maybe another official, like durable medical equipment provider that we work with closely, where they may be able to store and maintain and make sure that it's in really good working condition before it's issued to a client for use. But we love bridging those opportunities. And so certainly if anybody has any equipment of any sort, supplies, we're always looking for recreational type arts and crafts supplies and such, to give us a call or to look us up on our website that has opportunities to contact us too. And we can provide those links if we can't accept them directly.
Okay, thank you so much. So earlier in the podcast, you mentioned the new location in West Lansing. Can you tell us, what differs about the main campus? Is there anything different or is there a focus? I thought I saw on the Facebook page that there seemed to be a climbing wall and maybe a focus on kids. Am I correct?
You're right, Teddy, that climbing wall is very popular. So what we have over in the west side of Lansing, so it's on Marketplace Boulevard over by Lowe's, Furniture Row, we have a space that is dedicated to serving children, and we're super excited about it. So we serve children in our main campus as well in Mason, but we really wanted to make sure we dedicated a fun space over at our west side location. So that is something that we've been able to expand and offer, that dedicated space. But the outpatient services at that location are identical, really, to what we've long been providing in Mason on our main campus. The main reason why we expanded was we were at capacity in our outpatient program in the clinic, and we needed to really broaden our reach. And we thought the west side of Lansing would really open some doors to the communities over in that area while still being close enough, like within 20 minutes from main campus, to share resources and supplies and staff and such. So very similar services. And like you said, Teddy, there is a climbing rock wall. There's a really cool like sensory swing for kids. We really are enjoying our younger population and helping them meet their goals.
Go ahead. Tammy, just so you know, I'm going to give away our trade secrets here, but we work from a script, and I was going to ask my co-host to pick up from here, but go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. I was listening. Tammy, I'm going to jump, if it's okay, to the big question, and that is, you know, you started young, right? And you mentioned all of the work that you put into this and how much you learned from that time period. But I'd love to ask you, what would 20-year-old Tammy do? What would you tell her now? And what advice would you give her from the lessons you've learned?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, you know, I would say that, you know, be you. The piece of it's okay to be vulnerable. I remember, you know, 21 years ago, I felt like I should have known all the answers already. I felt like the questions that I needed to ask were probably questions I should have already had answers to. Or I felt like I needed to kind of put on a front of who I felt like I should be or needed to be in order to be successful. And, you know, I through the years, you know, I've reflected on that and the amount of unnecessary pressure that I put on myself and how unrealistic that is, right? In the end, I would summarize it as be human, be genuine, be you. You know, showing your vulnerability can be attractive. It can strengthen your relationships. It can reduce the unnecessary pressure that you put on yourself. People appreciate being around people that are authentic. It builds trust and loyalty. So, you know, that comes to mind. And the other thing is, you know, be okay making mistakes. Be okay recognizing that you're not going to get perfection ever. That's a waste of time. It depletes energy, and your mistakes do help you to learn. It makes you stronger. And that experience really lends itself as a lesson as you move forward in leadership.
Wow. It sounds like authenticity is really driving you now. And I think that is something that you learn as you get older, right? So my next question is where are we going to see this authenticity in the next 3 years? Are you still going to be there? It sounds like you're not going anywhere, but you know, I mean, everybody's got other goals and dreams too, but, where are you going in this next phase?
Sure. Well, you know, I love what I do and I am so blessed for that. You know, you think about how many hours, whether physical, mental, whatever, you can't calculate the amount of hours you spend devoting to your work. And when your work feels so fulfilling and it's so rewarding, to be able to know the impact that you're having on the team and the impact that the team is having on people in need, and the good work that we're doing in the community. And I'm passionate about working for a nonprofit organization. I don't see myself going anywhere. I do see myself continuing to challenge our team, challenge myself to, and we're faced, like I said earlier, with so many challenges right now. And so part of that is also recognizing and being sensitive to burnout and the need to make sure we're taking breaks whenever possible and being kind to ourselves. That's something that I tell myself as much as I try to tell our team, to be kind to yourself through this. But, you know, like I said, when your why aligns perfectly with what you're doing as part of what your career, what your work is every day. I can't imagine doing anything else.
Thanks for sharing that, Tammy. So I have one last question as we begin to wrap up our time together. What do you like most about what you do at Origami? What really inspires and drives Tammy?
Oh, so I absolutely love the fact that when people come to us in need, this, I always reflect on similar questions like this of, you know, there's clients that come to us from the hospital who can't walk. They can't talk. They can't feed themselves. They may not be able to swallow safely certain foods. I mean, the list goes on with the type of challenges people face after being catastrophically injured and never having planned or expected for this to happen to them. And we get to play a role, and we are honored to play a role in being able to help those individuals make those stepping stones of progress back to being able to do things as independently as possible. And so when I think about what we do, the impact that it has, and the immense amount of teamwork that it takes to get the job done, it fills me with pride, and it fills my bucket, it fuels me, and it's something that I just think that is, you don't always get. You get your rewards at doing your work wherever you work, but for me, where I work, we really do change lives. We really do create opportunities and transform lives and help people get back to doing the things they love. I always also say that, you know, people never plan on needing Origami. And so when they do need us, I'm just so grateful that we're here in this community to provide the care and the support and the specialized rehab that we can offer.
Yeah, and we are so grateful that Origami exists, especially because it's a gem here in the Lansing region and really throughout the state. Unfortunately, our time together is coming to an end. Lisa and I want to thank you again, Tammy, for joining us today on the podcast.
I appreciate the invitation, and I appreciate what both of you are doing in this community to support everyone.
Well, thank you so much. We have truly enjoyed our conversation and look forward to seeing you on a future podcast. You can find out more about Tammy and Origami at tlrealtalk.com.
Thanks again, everyone, for joining us on another episode of Real Talk with Teddy and Lisa. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Remember, no matter where life's journey takes you, it's always a great time to grab a cup of coffee, some hot tea, or a martini, and let's keep it real.